Welcome to the first and also sadly the last episode of our podcast, Cabbed. In today's episode, we will be discussing the differences between socialism and capitalism, as well as why it is so relevant in our culture today.
I'm Kendall.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bradley.
And I'm Dane.
So first of all, capitalism is an economic system characterized by private or corporate ownership of capital goods, by investments that are determined by private decision, and by prices, production, and the distribution of goods that are determined mainly by the competition in a free market.
Now, we have the other side of the spectrum, which is socialism. And socialism is an social and economic doctrine that calls for public rather than private ownership or control of property and natural resources. So the socialist view, individuals do not live or work in isolation, but live in cooperation with one another. This goes in with the collective spirit that we'll talk about. This socialism ideology will set all as equals, and this will go to be one of the benefits that many view through socialism.
Next up is the people that benefit from each side. The people that benefit from capitalism are mostly individuals that are typically wealthy and have a large amount of capital invested in businesses and profit from the system of capitalism by making increased profits and thereby adding to their wealth.
So the difference with capitalism then and socialism is socialism is really not affecting one target group, whereas capitalism is seen as affecting the rich and benefiting the rich. Socialism is supposed to be equally affecting everyone, and that is economically and socially, which is supposed to benefit us, everyone, as a whole.
According to The Balance, some of the most capitalist countries in the world include Singapore, New Zealand, Switzerland, Australia, Ireland, Canada, and even the United Kingdom.
So the socialist countries that we see around the globe are Venezuela, China, Cuba, and even Vietnam.
From the capitalist side, there is a lot of focus on private ownership. So a specific set of group of people, often referred to as the power elites, they control their factors of the production and they make their income from it. They are in complete control of their company. Capitalism also really goes through competition. Competition, it incentivizes people to maximize the amount of money they earn. It's also the driving force of innovation, as these individuals can create ways to accomplish tasks more efficiently, and because of this, they get more money. Capitalism also has a free market. According to The Balance, it says, capitalism requires a free market economy to succeed. It distributes goods and services according to the laws of supply and demand. The law of demand says that when the demand increases for a particular product, its price rises. When competitors realize they can make a higher profit, they increase production. The greater supply reduces prices to its level where only the best competitors remain. So capitalism really revolves around the supply and demand, and you also try to make as much money as you can without really looking at any of the disadvantages of it.
Now, under socialism, we see that assets are owned by the government. In this sense, we see that there is public ownership rather than private ownership, and there's a collective spirit for the general population. We also see that there's a redistribution of income, where under capitalism, we see that there is the private elite. Under socialism, there is economic equality, and no class receives more than another. We also see that under socialism, there are higher progressive taxes and a universal health care.
Some of the advantages of capitalist society is the dynamic economy that comes with it. Many individuals think that socialism strips all your really identity from your jobs, your clothing, like really anything. They think that in a socialism economy, you have no personal rights, but this is not the case. And capitalism revolves around a dynamic economy, which gives you these personal rights. There's also incentives for innovations and economic growth. There's room for improvement. You can move up the chain ladder of command.
All right, and then under the advantages of socialism, we see that there's a promotion of equality. So we see that there's an evening of the playing field, kind of similar to the redistribution of income, where there is no one person who has more or is more than another. We also see that there's an attempt to overcome the market failure, similar to what we have seen during the Great Depression.
The issues that come with capitalism also revolves around the Great Depression, as Kendall just said. The market can fail, and when it does, it crashes hard. There's also a big inequality gap in capitalism. Like, even though everybody thinks they have an equal opportunity in the country, and that's what America strives off of, is the American dream, so-called, it's actually not true. There's not an equality of opportunity. If you don't have good nutrition, if you don't have a good support system, if you don't have a good education, you don't even have a shot, really, to make it in America.
Then under socialism, we also see some issues as well. The first of which is the inefficiency of a state industry. By this, I mean that the government is more nationalized and the states lose much of its power. One way that we could see this in society today could have been with the pandemic. We saw that each of the states locked down separately, whereas if it was under socialism, we would see that each state would lose that power, and as a nation, we would lock down as one. Another issue we would see is there are less incentives. And by this, I mean that there are no rewards, and in that sense, there's no motivation for progression.
During this portion of the podcast, we will be having an analysis over socialism and capitalism. So during this section, we will be talking about our opinions. First, we're going to start off by talking about my opinion, me, Abby Roberts. Personally, I am definitely more pro-socialism than I am capitalism. I definitely think there are a lot of structures and systems under capitalism that continue to fail, which is then innately putting humans in this vicious cycle that is unattainable to get out of. Something that I particularly dislike about capitalism is its two main factors, and that's exploitation and expropriation. So there's no end to exploitation without expropriation. And with this, we are seeing the exploitation of workers working horrible wages, horrible labor hours. And then the expropriation is these people are essentially taking away something that they didn't even have a payment for. So, for example, if you go back ages, there's these peasants that are living on land, public land, not private owned land, public land, and they are then taken over by these capitalist people. They take that land without payment, so that's your expropriation, and then use those same people for labor, which is the exploitation part. This is still used in our structures of government today. And it's seen everywhere. This is why socialism is so big on unionization, because, as I stated before, there's no end to exploitation without expropriation. So this is important for the labor force not taking over the power elite. That's the main thing that I'm going to start off with. I don't know if any of you guys want to add in on that, what you have to say, but that's what I have to say.
Yeah, so I'm going to put in on that. I think there are obvious issues with capitalism, like the work environments, obviously, some of the work wages. But the overall picture of capitalism, I think, outweighs the overall picture of socialism. So in capitalism, you have what I consider the two of the most popular beliefs or standpoints, or whatever you want to call them, is the competition and the innovation. So if you have two people, you can literally fight until someone wins. And you can continue like battling off each other until somebody reaches the top. And also for the innovation standpoint, you have the ability to improve our world, improve the country in ways that you wouldn't be able to in socialism. Like, for example, all the electric cars or whatever. Elon Musk came out of nowhere because we live in a capitalist society. He had the ability and the money to do so, and he comes out with this great invention that could revolutionize our world later on.
Yeah, I think I can understand both viewpoints, and I think that's why I'm so torn in choosing one or the other. I don't think that capitalism is 100% the right way to go, nor do I think socialism is 100% the right way to go. I think under socialism, there are some things that can benefit us as a society, and as Abby said, there's no exploitation and expropriation, and with that, we do see there's this inequality, especially with the power elite, and I think coming from the middle class, we understand and we are able to relate that the power elite isn't, as a society, something that everything isn't something that we as a society really agree with. But then again, under capitalism, we have more of this individuality, and we are able to express ourselves, whereas under socialism, I feel that we are all stuck under these same conditions.
So my opinion, I kind of agree with Kendall, where I'm not really torn to one side or the other. I agree with both sides. There's pros and cons, and one big thing that I like with capitalism is, like Dane said, you kind of have your own freedom to come with your own ideas and really make your own way to the top. But then I also like socialism, where it's unionized and your jobs are always protected by the government.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's obviously apparent pros and cons to each form of government, and we don't work under socialism right now, so we don't know what that would be like, and that's part of the reason why I think we should start implementing more socialist ideologies, because how can you say that it's failing whenever we haven't even implemented it yet? Like, we are currently, if you look around, look at the incarceration rates, look at the poverty rates, look at the social injustices that are still occurring, and look at the labor force. Like, if those are only four that I can just name right off the top of my head that are apparent issues that are happening that are because of capitalism and can be relayed directly to capitalism. So it's almost like the rest of America is like turning a blind eye and just saying, oh, socialism is not going to work. We've never implemented those strategies at all.
Okay, I think there's a reason that we've never implemented those strategies, though. Like, there's obviously people that are much, much, much smarter than I am. And you're obviously much smarter than I am. But I'm sure there's people that are smarter than you are about the topic. And if socialism was so much better than capitalism, I think it would have been in effect by now. And I think we would be living under it right now. But we're not. We're living under a capitalist society, and I think people above us know that that is the best solution.
Yeah, and I think that one of the reasons that we haven't implemented socialism is just because of the history that we see behind socialism. Socialism has tried to be implemented in the past, and it has never been successful, but that's because of the authoritarian a government that has been heading it, and under capitalism that is the complete opposite. So we have seen that the type of socialism in the past hasn't worked, so we have gone to the complete other side of things and gone to capitalism.
I like to just touch on what Dane said about the people above us being smarter than us. I would like to go back to the fact what we talked about previously. Those people that are quote unquote above us and more powerful than us are the power elite, which are the rich people. Do they hold a large majority of the public opinion? No, they don't, because they are not ordinary normal people. So how are viewpoints being correctly displayed through forms of government whenever these power elite are controlling our government?
I have to agree with Abby on that. The power elite, that is such a small percent of our entire national population. And they are making the decisions for the lowest class and the middle class people. And we are not reaping the benefits that they are sowing.
I think that the power elite, we need to break this up. But I just really don't understand a good way of breaking this up. But the power elite can...
No, I agree. We can't, it's hard to break it up again, because we've been living under this capitalist society forever. So it's again, like I said, a cycle. Well, if you look back, Everything, like anarchies, monarchies, all of these other forms of government, we used to have kings and queens. Like this type of stuff is, government is supposed to progress. So this is what we're seeing now with these generations, I think. We are seeing a much larger progression, and that is progressing towards the left-wing socialist side rather than staying on what commonly is referred to as the right wing. But it's also hard. It's hard. I understand. Does anyone else have anything? Any other?
So as Kendall stated earlier, you have the authoritarian government in the socialism, and that's often why it has never worked. And I think it has never worked because that's the only way you can implement the socialism. I think everybody will always have their opinions and their rights as long as you're under a capitalist country. I think if you begin to implement social ideas, I lost my train of thought, but we're gonna keep going. Everybody, if you begin to go under a socialist country, everyone begins to kind of take a step back and realize that their work is not as important as it used to be. So if you have two people next to each other, as I stated earlier, if both people realize that they're going to get the same paycheck at the end of the day, they're going to get this, go to home to the same house with the same shoes and the same toothbrush, they realize that their work that they do there, no matter how hard they work, they're not going to get the benefits of it. They're going to continue living their same mediocre life. And that's my biggest problem with socialism. There's no room for growth or room for improvement and innovation and competition.
I agree with that. I kind of think that it would destroy the creativity and allow people to create their own way to the top, and it'll really just keep people equal, and then that's just going to keep taking it downwards, and it's never going to spiral upwards.
I'm going to take this just a step further. The actual idea of socialism, though, is that nothing that we have really is owned by us. Therefore, the house that we have is not owned by us. The land that we live on is not owned by us. And obviously, this is kind of a bizarre concept to think about, because it's like, well, I paid for my house and I paid for this and I paid for that. What do you mean I don't own it? Thousands and thousands of years ago, when humans first started roaming this earth or whatever, no one went up to a piece of land and was like, yep, this is my land, until someone started buying that land. It was public land. All of the stuff was public until the expropriation started and people started not even buying this land, but just calling it and private, it's a private ownership and calling it their land. So that dates back till forever ago, which obviously you guys are like, yeah, that we get it, Abby, it's an old concept, but something important to think about, because do we really, yeah, we pay for the stuff we have, but did we really own all the stuff back then? No.
No, I think that's a great point to bring up. I mean, like, how much of, like, what you have in your house you actually own? How much of it did you fully pay for? How much of it can the government not take away on a split notice? I mean, your house, if you're renting a house, even, like, having a mortgage, any of that, you're paying that off gradually, and until you 100% pay that off, you are not the owner of that property. So I think in that sense, that's a great point to bring up.
Well, I think that's all we have for today. Obviously, I'm sure I hope you got a better scope at what capitalism is and what socialism is, and also our insights on what we believe is true about the government. And again, opinions are great, and opinions are what make the world go around. And it's great that we can all discuss this stuff together collectively. So I hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll see you not next time.